Thank you. Sound the same. Everybody just looks the same. But then last night was so much fun. And now your sheets are dirty, the streets are dirty too. But you never look back over what you've done. Remember when you were young, you'd lose yourself. Can't help it, it's not his fault. Just a dangerous, dangerous age. Then every night is still so much fun. And you're still out there, darling, clinging on to the wrong ideas. But I never regret anything I've done. Remember when you were young, you'd lose yourself. We'll be right back.
yourself if you could handle this. Say my name before you disappear. I always thought that you could handle this.
Guess who just walked in? Sean from Bughouse Square. He's going to probably go to the store. I want to mic him up when he gets back because if he's up for it, I'll let him think about it on the way to the store because we were talking about something super interesting, and we can be super vague and we can talk about that, or we can talk about yo-yos. So stay tuned for possibly Sean from Bughouse Square. And in the meantime, I'm going to play something totally random, I think. All right, thanks for listening. Actually, I could go over what we've already listened to a little bit. Hold on. I don't always do this. So we heard some of, I didn't expect to make the jump that quick, some of Tiga's, Triple Records Tiga's version of Sunglasses at Night. I feel like the other person on that record was in Theris, if I remember correctly. This is back in the when I was buying a lot of electroclash music, and I started. I mean, I still listen to that. I love it. What did we hear? The Only Ones. That is live, London, 1977. We heard John Mouse. We heard Ang Lee, like the director, but not the director. But I believe that's. And that's Every Pretty Girl in the World. We heard Perfect Pussy. We heard Green Velvet. We heard Peaches. We heard The Stills. And we're going to wait, see if Sean from Bughouse Square wants to talk. And in the meantime, hold on for some really, really quiet air. I got some comps, one compilation today. Maybe play something off another one off of that. Hold on. I know gangsters. I just really play an ant. I mean, yeah, we want to not have violence, but I think maybe now we find a subject. Certainly don't want worldwide violence. So now maybe we found a. I'm Italian, by the way, so I know. Known and know some gangsters. And if you want to know if gangsterism ever solved anything or helped. So if you recall, in the 50s, the Federal Bureau, we'll go, I guess it has to go back before that. So 50s, I was thinking McCarthy era. So there's a great book out there. It's super interesting. It's called Havana Nocturne. And it's by either TJ or JT English. I want to read it again, actually. So if you saw the movie The Godfather, and this would be part two, and I read another book about this history. So you have Castro's revolution in Cuba, and in the it's the waning days of the Batista regime, right? So Michael Corleone is there. What a great film. And he, you know, this is wonderful. And I come to find out Hyman Roth, the gentleman who played Hyman Roth, was actually Marlon Brando's acting coach, that's Lee Strasberg, playing the dying man who is still making deals up until his dying moments, right? So the real story of what happened there and so much more is in Havana Nocturne. So Lucky Luciano was jailed on some trumped up charges and sent to prison. This is when the black market was, they were cracking down on organized crime in the beginning part of the century. And what happens is, and let's never go there again, another world war breaks out, and you have the Nazi U-boats actually infiltrated New York Harbor, and this is going to be like bad, obviously. And the people that found out about this, I don't know at what level of government it was, probably all levels of government, they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, who runs the docks? And they're like, oh, Luciano does. He's in prison. So they make a deal with him that if he clears New York Harbor and makes it safe for everybody, they'll let him out of prison. And the other benefit of having organized crime is during the war, when the Allies, and this is somebody that in the know who, he, and this history is pretty well documented too. I don't know a lot of it, but the Allies had no trouble landing in Italy, basically because of organized crime. So Elvez, that was kind of, it's kind of funny. This is another thing I like about music too, right? It's like it brings up topics of conversation and everybody can hear and hear the grooves and hear the messages. Sometimes the message is obscured, right? Sometimes on purpose. Happens in electronic music a lot. So I wanted to say something else on this topic. It's kind of like, I remember hearing a phrase, I don't know who came up with it, a quote, that there are no permanent allies, there are only permanent issues. And I was just talking with Sean about Buckhouse Square, about kind of keeping an open mind, and wouldn't it be great if at least once in a while we could go into it. And I struggle and I pray about this and I'm trying to meditate on it. It's like, if we don't bring all our past and our history with us and our conditioning and our indoctrination, what have you, and just go into a situation, and hopefully the other parties are as well going into that situation just with a clean slate, you know, that would be super great. So I'm gonna, Sean is back from the store. He's back. We have 19 minutes. Well, we probably have 10 minutes before Bughouse Square. So I'm going to let him decide if he wants to get on the air. I'm going to turn the mics up. We'll test him out.
You would turn up two, number two.
You want to talk into it?
Number two.
Device two, right?
No, the one next to one.
All right, I'm really... I'm showing my intelligence level here.
There you go.
Oh, I hear him now.
There you go. Am I there?
Sean, wouldn't it be great if we could. A funny thing happened. I grabbed this compilation today and I'm like, Mariachi Elvis. And it's all about like.
Mariachi Elvis?
Yeah, Elvez. And I've heard of this. So it's now or never. But so this is all supposed to be Elvis, but it's all about like. Stop throwing. It's basically like stop gangbanging, stop throwing up gang signs. And then I started to talk about how I know and have known gangsters and that there's a point. I don't like violence, but there's a point to having groups like this where there's a groups of gangsters and that sometimes that's a good thing. And I know a little bit about that, like if you remember in Godfather 2, I was talking about this, like where Batista's regime is done, and so the guerrillas win the war in Cuba, and a guy that is in this book called Havana Nocturne is Lucky Luciano, and he actually played a huge part in making sure that America was safe during World War II. German U-boats were found in New York Harbor, and they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, who runs the... Like, oh, they're like... We got to talk to Lucky Luciano. He's the one that runs the harbor, and he gets him out of there. And the deal was they would let him go, and they released him after we win the war. And he went to Cuba and set up all of these casinos, right? I believe that's the story, right? So we were, I don't know if we want to talk exactly about what we were talking about, but how have you in your life, or how do we go into a situation without our indoctrination or prejudgments or all this stuff, and just maybe somebody looks.
That was the thing you were saying, is how do you go into a situation without the prejudgment? And but you got to do the homework, right? I guess is what we were saying. We want to get into specifics on this, like the.
No, but I think your point. I was kind of pushing back on you when you were saying that earlier, but now you want to know who you're dealing with, right? And I encounter this sometimes. I live in a rougher neighborhood, and I remember a couple times they like tested me out, and I kind of thought about it, and I'm like, well, at least they know, like, if they see me, like, I'm not going to fucking take any fucking shit. You know what I mean? I mean, right. This guy got right in my way once when I was walking home. He just walked into my way, right? And I was like, dude, I live on the street. And he's like, what? And I just put my bag down. I was like, what? And he was like, okay, I'm not going to fucking fuck with this guy, right? But I would much rather just walk down the street and have not somebody get in that way. But that's not the world we live in.
Like a long screwdriver and poke your heart.
I like to pull out a yo-yo. See, when someone goes screwdriver, I want to go goofy because I'm a comedian, right? Like, what? And then maybe, like, pull the string out, and they're like, they question it. They're like, fuck, what's he going to do with that string? I better not fucking, better put the knife away.
That's if I mean, you don't want to mess with a yo-yo.
No. The yo-yo brain, the yo-yo mind, yo-yo ma. Like, the violinist, like, what do you think you could fucking do with a violin string? Like, right? If yo-yo ma is getting accosted, the famous, is he a cellist? I feel like he's...
Cellist.
Man, and he's down on the ground, and he's scrambling, and he can break a string off? No fucking...
That's horsehair, man. You can choke to death on that stuff, for sure.
Or choke someone. There was a...
Well, yeah. Course.
A gnarly movie. I didn't think it was one of those movies. I saw in the theater with my friends. I was super excited to see it. Javier Bardem, who I love, and Brad Pitt was in it, and the soundtrack was really good. And it was like a cool, sexy thriller. It was a fucking terrible movie. That's why I can't even remember the name of it.
That one.
What was it?
Were they on a train?
No.
Okay.
Maybe in one small part. No.
It wasn't in like Hong Kong or somewhere in or no Tokyo.
Dude, it just seemed like this is what I remember about. They go to like a party at like a super modern house, like a baller part, right? Like at the $10 million, like right. If you want in like the desert, and like Javier Bardem is like the bad guy or something with like a silk cheetah shirt on with like the, you know, the seductress there. But it was a fucking shitty movie. It wasn't even that long ago, but I remember there's killing in it, and they would execute people by they had this like kind of like thing where they would put over your neck, and it was like, I mean, you're huh?
Like a noose?
Like a noose, but it was like you know the stuff you cut, you know how you cut really nice cheese and you kind of have that instrument wire. It was like a wire that just like fastens, and like once it's over, everyone kind of knows this is like the murder weapon, and then it goes over them, and they're like, they know. It's like a vice, like T minus 10 before I absolutely am not escaping this. Okay, let me ask you this then. I've had a lot of coffee, you could tell. 10 seconds. If this noose goes over your head, which I hope it never does, what are you thinking about in the last 10 seconds, do you think? There's no way to put this to the test, but...
What have I been thinking about?
What would you think about in the last...
Oh, if someone was going to... If I had 10 seconds before I get my head cheesed
off. Yep, if the plane's going down. Yeah, you're cheesed off. Yeah, that's good.
I think I would probably think of my family.
Yeah, totally. Do you want to share a really nice moment that happened with you when you went to see your son and you walked into 7-Eleven? That was a beautiful moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He saw... there was a friend of his that went to school with him at one of a couple of his classes, and he's like, Diego, he's going to be a brilliant engineer. Or he said he is a brilliant engineer. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, so you're working at 7-Eleven? What happened? And he's like,
whoa, someone says something nice about his brood, and then Sean just destroys him. That's a mental cheese wire right to the guy's fucking face.
My mother.
You know what I would say? I'm like, I'm making Slurpees, motherfucker, and like, fuck your son, motherfucker.
No, he was, it's hard. He's like in IT. That's what he went to. So it was like 4 years ago, IT was the shit. Now it's like, you know, with AI, they're like, I don't know.
Oh, I never thought about it. You know what? There's some hope in that. But yeah, I have a lot of worries around AI. And the hope is like when we had the 2008 financial crash, I feel like not the center, but the left and right were coming together and they're going, fuck, man, we can't just like they were finding things in common. And I think there's hope in like this situation where you have like people and this some of it was, I met a guy who was a banker on Wall Street, and we probably don't have time before you want to get on. But like he met me. So we talked about the book I was reading at the time, it's a long time ago. And like, he was in finance and worried about his job. Like, it's not like, remember that movie? It was Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where like everyone's on the trading floor in the white lab coats and there's all this excitement. Now it's just whoever has the best computer is going to fucking make all the money, right? And the IT guys might not have the job.
Has the capital to start with, you know, and the wherewithal. I don't know. I mean, I'm so like over the whole investor class and private equity and all that stuff. It's just shitting on all the people who, you know, like these mobile trailer parks that these private equity firms are buying up that people are used to paying $200. All of a sudden, they got to pay $800.
I did not know that.
A chunk of land. And there are these companies that are just like, yeah, fuck all, you know, all right, you know, carry on. And the people who kind of blindly go into these investments and they don't know really...
They're playing a part.
Yeah, and they absolutely are playing a part. So those of you who are, you know, collecting money from your investments, yeah.
Enjoy. Look in and see that.
There's like 1,000 screaming knuckles at your door, you know.
I used to live in a trailer park in Santa Cruz. I loved it. In a Class C RV. It was like the time of my life. Yeah, I wouldn't want to pay, you know, mortgage rates to have that. Yeah, you think that's a safe, you're safe, you're going to be able to save money and retire, and then all of a sudden you can't. And now they're getting them off. I mean, yeah, I kind of
the middle class is done, man. We're like done. It's going to be just like the uber rich and like 80% of the people who are just fucking clawing and scratching. And
then the 80% of the people have to run for government and local offices, I think, get money out of politics.
Just fucking storm the Bastille.
Hey, we're gonna thank you so much. I love Sean. We're going to have some quiet air and me. Yeah, I wasn't super. I'm gonna put on a record. Yeah, that I haven't played. I'm gonna put on John Cale from. It sounded really cool. This is perfect. Kind of like it was really cool. It just didn't fit into what I was playing today. So John Cale. I remember reading about him in. I didn't know the name. Well, I think he's a composer. I think he's really good friends. I know Sean knows who John is. So I think he does play that or something. So he was a founding member of the Velvet Underground, and I remember reading in Ray Gun magazine way back in the day. They had such great pieces, and the lady was like, I was at this gym, and I saw this really looking. He's like a striking fellow. I've seen pictures of him, and who's this healthy-looking, interesting guy? And she didn't know who it was, and it was John Cale, and she worked for Raygun or was a journalist, and she got to interview him. So I got a John Cale album, and I'm going to play some until Buglaw Square. Hold on.
Listen to it just a little bit. Whoa. Good start.
First, tell me you love me just like I knew you would. Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me.
Is this a record you have today?
Yeah, I got from next door. I got it at the record swap. Is this your chocolate and meat sticks?
Yeah, you want some?
Nah, I got some Cheetos.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
You're welcome. I know this song. This is an 80s song. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Just, you know, working shit out, man.
I was a good boy.